Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
It is Tuesday, the 2nd of March. You're listening to Viewpoint with me, Giles Brown, live from the studios of TRE Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain on today's show. Always live, always lively, discussing the issues of the day. I'll be talking with Andres Gallardo to what's happening in Spain. At the moment, some quite extraordinary revelations overnight with Barcelona, the football club, and also the free speech issue in Spain, as riots continue in several cities, principally Barcelona, over the jailing of a controversial rapper. And in the second half of the hour, after the international and national news, I'll be talking with Rosamund Scott Gibb on her take of the on the what's happening in the world. Always live, always lively, always controversial. If you want to get involved with the show, 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe, and you can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. I'll just give you those numbers one more time, which are, they are the following.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000, email studio at tre.radio, send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95, message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And we'll be talking in the second hour, probably Trump budgets. We may speak about the restrictions due to coronavirus and anything else that crosses your viewpoint. It can be something large, it can be something small. We are open to all discussions. But first of all, let's have a look at what the papers are saying. Millions are living in COVID-free areas. More than 7 million people living in the UK are in areas where cases of COVID-19 have become negligible, according to The Telegraph. Analysis of official data has found that hundreds of neighbourhoods across the country recorded close to zero cases last week. These areas include large parts of Cornwall, Devon and Wiltshire. Others in London include Notting Hill West, whilst Trafford in Manchester also recorded almost no new infections. Rishi Sunak's expected to announce tomorrow more than £400 million of additional support for the badly hit culture sector in tomorrow's spring budget. The Chancellor will hand out £408 million to help museums, theatres and galleries in England help them reopen once COVID restrictions start to ease. Sunak is also planning a £300 million sports recovery package, with a significant chunk allocated to cricket. There's a warning of genocide in Ethiopia. The ousted leader of Ethiopia's Tigray region has accused the federal government and its Eritrean allies of genocide. Speaking to CNN, the president of the Tigray People's Liberation Front, Debretsion Jebre Michael, called for an independent probe into the alleged killings, rapes and violence. He said US President Joe Biden must ramp up the pressure against invader forces, as he put it. Boris Johnson has been accused of secretly trying to set up a charity to pay for the makeover of his Downing Street flat by his fiancée, Carrie Simmons. The Daily Mail reports that the scheme is based on the presidential charity used by the White House to raise millions of dollars for interior design, antiques and art. The US version is being bankrolled by private donors, and Johnson's proposed version will be funded by wealthy Tory backers. A number 10 spokesperson said matters concerning works on the Downing Street estate, including residences, are covered in the Cabinet Office's annual report and accounts. A group of girls who were adopted from a boarding school in Nigeria have been released and are safe, according to reports. Armed men shouting slogans, including Allahu Akbar and God is Great, abducted 317 students from the Girls Science Secondary School in Zamfara State on Friday. Sky News says that several large groups of armed men operate in the region and are known to kidnap for money and for the release of their members from jail. The government has repeatedly denied paying ransoms for the return of the girls. The spread of coronavirus variants could cause a fourth surge of cases in the US, a health official has warned. Around 70,000 new cases a day were recorded last week, with nearly 2,000 deaths a day in the same period. Please hear me clearly. At this level of cases, with variants spreading, we stand to completely lose the hard-earned ground we have gained, said Dr. Rochelle Walensky, director of the US Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Meanwhile, the Duke of Edinburgh was yesterday transferred to St. Bartholomew's Hospital for continued treatment. Prince Philip, 99, had already spent 13 nights at another London hospital and is being treated for an infection. Doctors will also carry out testing and observation for a pre-existing heart condition. Buckingham Palace says that Prince Philip is responding to treatment and remains comfortable. Nicolas Sarkozy, the former president of France, has been sentenced to 3 years in jail, two of them suspended, after a high-profile corruption investigation. Sarkozy was convicted of trying to bribe a judge in 2014 by suggesting he could secure a plush job for him in return for information about a separate case. The 66-year-old lawyer says he will appeal the sentence and Sarkozy will remain free during that process. A single shot of the Oxford AstraZeneca or the Pfizer-BioNTech jab reduces the chance of needing hospital treatment by more than 80%. That's what the BBC reports. Health Secretary Matt Hancock told the Daily Press Briefing yesterday that the latest vaccine results were very strong, adding that data on falling infections is seriously encouraging. Government scientists hailed the results, but added that two doses were still needed for the best protection. And almost 40% of university students are so addicted to their smartphones that they suffer from bad sleep, according to new research. A study of 1,043 students aged 18 to 30 at King's College London found that 406 had symptoms of smartphone addiction, and more than two-thirds of the addicts had trouble sleeping, compared to 57.1% of those who were not addicted to their device. The youngest participants in the study were the most likely to show signs of addiction. Looking at the front page of El País in English, and don't forget I'll be speaking with Simon Hunter tomorrow from the El País newsroom. They have the following stories. Police arrest the former president of FC Barcelona. That's Josep Maria Bartomeu. We'll be speaking with Andres about that in a little while. Also, how former Spanish King Juan Carlos I's affair with Corina Larsson turned into a matter of state. The former monarch consulted a specialist law firm about the possibility of officially splitting from Queen Sophia, sources say, but his relationship with a Monaco-based business consultant ended badly, and both are now facing legal troubles. Spain updates COVID vaccination protocols. Under 55s who have recently had the virus will only receive one dose. And Spain's coronavirus incident rate falls to the lowest point since August 2020. The 14-day cumulative number of cases per 100,000 inhabitants has dropped to 175.3. But health authorities will warn the speed of the descent is slowing. Main story again in the UK at the moment is that health officials are hunting for a mystery UK patient who failed to give their personal details before having a COVID test that detected a highly transmittable variant first found in Brazil. Public Health England and the NHS Test and Trace are also contacting passengers who arrived at London Heathrow on the 10th of February on a Swissair flight from Sao Paulo via Zurich. The arrival of the Brazil strain has triggered urgent calls for border measures. That's what The Guardian is saying. And those are your headlines today. Tuesday, the 2nd of March. If you want to get involved with the show, then here are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And Richard's first off the mark, as always, his thoughts on the Rishi Sunak's tomorrow's budget, with the news that they think he's going to give 400 million of additional support and also a 300 million sports recovery package, significant chunk allocated to cricket. Richard says they found that money tree then. 952 78 4000. Remember the famous money tree, which Theresa May said there wasn't one. 952 78 4000, the phone number. Studio at TRE.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Official. You can WhatsApp me. Yes, you can on +34 645 99 67 95. I'm going to be speaking to Andres de Gallardo. I'm just firing up the Facebook account. I'm going to be speaking to Andres Gallardo about news in Spain. News in Spain after this.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
We are always live. We are always lively. Delighted to join us, as kind of usual on the show, in the morning. Andres Gallardo. Andres, good morning to you.
Good morning, Giles. Good morning.
Hope you're fine and well and fit and dandy. Right then, I mean, quite a lot. I mean, it's a bit silly to say this, but quite a lot's been happening recently. Especially the fallout from this rapper. You wouldn't have thought that this one would continue, but it really has taken a different dimension.
It has. I'll give you a little bit of background on these ones. This guy is a rapper. We have different types of music in Spain, not only flamenco. So this guy made the headlines because his lyrics for his music they were inciting violence, for that crime he was judged and got a prison sentence. Now, let me just explain. If it'd been the only judgment that he had, he wouldn't have gone into prison cell. The problem with this guy is he had a string of convictions behind his sentence that had no option for the judge to say, look, you're going to have to go to prison because you're accumulating sentences.
And let me just come in if I can. This is Pablo Hasél. And I mean, it's not just saying, you know, the usual raps, I'm going to pop a cap in your whatever or my Uzi. He's saying things like he's insulting the Spanish moniker, but he's also saying, you know, he would quite happily mow down women and children. He was supporting ISIS, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, his lyrics were ridiculous. I mean, one of the things he said, he was encouraging people to put a car bomb on a particular politician and put an axe to the skull of another politician, and a string of insults to the monarchy, to the king, and so on. Now, let's not forget, in Spain, inciting violence and terrorism, there is a law against it. And the reason why there is a law against it is because in Spain, as you know, we've had a big problem with terrorism with ETA. Now, there could be an argument now that because ETA are not violent anymore, or they're not there anymore, these laws shouldn't be in place. But there is other forms of terrorism. So that law protects against inciting terrorism from Islamic sources, for instance. But in any case, the law is there, and there is a limit of what you can say or cannot say. If you're inciting violence and terrorism, then obviously you'll be judged by that particular point of law. So the problem is that this has been portrayed by the far left parties as there is a lack of freedom of speech in Spain, which is not true. You just have to be careful. I mean, you can think whatever you want and you can express whatever you want, but you cannot incite violence. I mean, that is, to me, that makes sense. That is why the guy's in prison.
And he held himself up in a university in Barcelona, didn't he? He didn't go quietly.
No, he didn't go quite. I mean, this guy loves attention, media attention, and a lot of the things he says and does are carefully picked so the media will attract attention. Let's not forget that this guy is fighting for the working class people and blah, blah, but let's not forget this guy comes from an upper middle class family. So it's not, it's just a kid with an angry stance on things, you know? But that has triggered all these protests in some cities in Spain, especially in Barcelona, and that is being coordinated by the far-left parties. And the consequence of that is that the terrible violence at the moment with burning containers, throwing stones at the police. Only yesterday they burned a police van with a policeman inside who couldn't get out, so it was in real danger. It could have, you know, sort of done a lot of damage. And all of this is being now protected by the far-left parties and the ones who are being under attack by the institutions, which is, this is what is incredible. The institutions are now criticizing the police for using too much force when they are under terrible stress and very violent crowds. They take the opportunity as well of looting some of the shops and everything else. And the worst thing is that they're portraying an image of Barcelona of a city in flames that is going to damage, eventually, when tourism returns, is going to damage the image of the city. And perhaps a lot of people will think, in fact, I've heard people saying, I used to go to Barcelona, I'm not going to go there anymore, I'm going to take other destinations.
It's an interesting one with Barcelona, isn't it? Because, I mean, the idea you're having a protest is fair enough, but then to start looting and you know, going through Zara is just an excuse to steal stuff. And there were also, at the beginning, protests in Granada, in Madrid as well, when Hassan was originally arrested. But recently, the protests again have been in Catalan cities like Sabadell, Tarragona, Girona, rather than just, you know, across Spain. So it seems to have been the trigger for basically sort of more Catalan unrest.
It has, because this is being conducted in the background through social media by the same people who coordinated the violence during the protests when the sentence of the Catalan politicians came out. The police they already know who they are, but they are very, very well organized. And they come out, and also the in some cities like Madrid, for instance, it's because of the of how the city is built, with small streets and everything else, it's easier for the police to control the crowds. Barcelona, as you probably know, and your listeners will, if they visited, the very wide avenues and the controlling crowds is much more difficult. And that's why, you know, they're struggling. And also with the fact that they've been told by the politicians and the people in power that not to use excessive violence, it puts them in a very, very weak position. So the thing here is that the bottom line of it is that where are we with freedom of speech? That's the question that requires an answer. Is it okay to say anything? Is it okay to say you're going to, you know, encourage people to put a car bomb on a particular politician, even if it's only a song? Or there's got to be a limit of what you can say, you cannot say. At the moment, obviously, the law says there is a limit, but the argument is that there should be no limit, so everyone could say whatever they wanted.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with that was, and this came across my radar the last week, or at least in the past 2 weeks, maybe 10 days, there was a rally in Madrid by pro Franco, if you like. I think it must have been an anniversary to mark something to do with Franco, and there was an attractive lay woman there who stood up, and you get the usual fascist salutes that you always get at these things, perhaps 300 people gathering, and she said, and I quote unquote, "The problem is the Jew." Now you would have thought that would have caused a uproar, or would have caused a police response, but nothing.
Well, nothing. It's been reported. The truth is that was a very small gathering, and I think it was brushed aside because it was only a bunch of lunatics, ill-informed. They're chanting things they don't understand, really, because that's why it's been brushed aside. But again, is that something that we should be allowing under the banner of freedom of speech, or we should put a stop to it? In my opinion, there's got to be a limit somewhere. And when you cross the line, then you have to pay the consequences of what the law is.
It's an interesting one, though, because if you think about it, we say, you know, you say, yeah, there were 300 people there, which, you know, it was a small rally, but it flashed across the media. It was on social media. You know, I was, I'm based in southern Spain. I wasn't up there in Madrid. And you think that, you know, it may be a couple of idiots with some ideas, but that's how these things start. And if this goes, if that sort of thing goes across social media, there may be some knuckle draggers out there who think, yeah, the problem is the Jew.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, the rally, and I wouldn't be surprised if some arrests are made on the as a consequence of it.
And we've got a caller on the line, 952-784-4000. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
I'm Kate Costabanca.
Morning, Kate.
Morning. Now, little did I think I would ever totally agree with you, but this time I think I do.
Good grief, the world's gone mad.
One quick thing. The idea that you can say anything you like, as long as you don't incite violence, is not actually tenable, because if you some of the things that you can say that don't actually do something violent, encourage people to. So it seems to me you must have a limit.
And correct me if I'm wrong, and I think there's in British law, there's intent. So if I say to somebody, I'm going to kill you or I'm going to hurt you, and no matter what happens, if the following day you get struck down, hit by a grand piano or something, you know, that's intent.
By the grand piano?
If you have incited somebody, so if some knuckle dragger thinks, okay, gets the grand piano and thunders it down the hill towards you, a la Fish Called Wanda, then, you know, that's intent.
Yes, and what I'm agreeing with is the idea that there is a danger, an absolute danger, in an absolute freedom of speech. It seems to me you've got to be able to defend what you're saying, and it could be that the best way of controlling the intent of people to be just trying to raise trouble, which there's obviously a lot of in Barcelona and at the moment. And people, you know, hanging on to the beautiful line, you know, freedom of speech at all costs. But it depends on how you use it. You know, you're not allowed, or no one would respect the people who thought it would be a good idea to say, let's fill fire in a crowded cinema when there wasn't one.
Right.
You know, that's a nice extreme example where totally everyone would agree that that was irresponsible and wrong, and that there ought to be some kind of legal and civil result. And I'm saying that there's a fair proportion of political statements that are in that kind of category. For example, Trump is still arguing the toss about what he intended to happen in the Capitol, there were people wearing T-shirts with the slogan 6MNE, which means, yes, 6 million was not enough. Now, that kind of free speech is not okay, I would say.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, we saw those disgusting T-shirts and that sort of thing. So, yeah, absolutely. Kate, as always, thank you for your call in.
Cheers.
952-78-4000. Andreas?
Yeah, I mean, there is one thing that we have to take into account, and it's the damage it does to the country, all of these. First, they are hailing and saying that in Spain there is no freedom of speech, when it's obviously not the case, because everyone can say and do whatever in Spain. That's number one. So it's given an image of a dictatorial sort of society here in Spain, which is not the case. That image is very damaging, especially when we have politicians that they have escaped justice, and we are trying to repatriate them so they can be a judge in Spain. So all that image is negative. Negative is also the fact that we are being seen as a violent society, which is the clear case is that generally we haven't been until very recently, and it's all been promoted by all these far-left groups. And the third thing is the obviously the economic damage that it's doing to the city. I mean, they said that only on containers, Barcelona Council is going to have to fork out €4 million. Right, it's not the time now to be spending €4 million when the country is on its knees financially, and now we have to pay for all these kids burning public.
And we've got another caller on the line. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Sharon Alicante.
Morning, Sharon.
Morning, everybody. Andreas, I totally back up what Kate said, although I don't understand with the gagging law brought in by the PP I'm pro this monarchy. I've got a lot of support for King Juan Carlos, a lot of respect, rather, apart from recent years. But surely people not be able to criticise the monarchy? There still seems to be, in this new democracy of ours, still seems to be a little bit of insecurity, maybe, about not being able to criticise the monarchy. Although I'm not so sure the UK is that tolerant about it either. But how do you know that these writing idiots weren't infiltrated by the far right, stirring it?
You mean like the Trump supporters were always saying it was Antifa had started the trouble?
Well, I'm not doing a Trump, but yeah, I know what you mean. But how do we know that there weren't infiltrations on this one? I mean, Andreas, were you there?
Well, look, I don't know who infiltrates what. The reality is that we've got a violent problem as a consequence of a claim that is not true, which is that there is no freedom of speech in Spain. That is unacceptable, and I believe the police have to act accordingly and not being trimmed on their duties by politicians and people in charge, especially from the Generalitat de Catalunya, which is the regional government there.
No way criticising the police. I think I felt for the police. I thought it was horrendous. They were being beaten up and all sorts of things, and those people ought to be banged up. But I'm just wondering how much stirring, there's been enough stirring from the far right and to a degree the PP over COVID. Why would they not infiltrate this to really make life hard for this current government? I agree with you about the far left as well. So,
yeah, I mean, I wouldn't know if they've been infiltrated by the far right. If as soon as we say far, it's wrong, whether it's left or right.
Your emphasis seems to be on the far left all the time, when it could be
it
both.
It appears in this case it's the far left, but if it was the far right, I would criticise it equally, because I don't like extremes. I think the extremes touch each other sometimes, you know, and they're more of the same. With different claims, but the end result is just the extreme populist ideas that lead us nowhere, and all it brings is confrontation. It appears in this particular case it's a far left, but if it'd been infiltrated far right, I would criticise it equally.
Okay, thanks for that, Andreas. Cheers.
Okay,
thank you. Bye.
Thank you for that, Sharon. As always, if you want to get involved with today's viewpoint, then here are the contact numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Thanks for Richard, who says, it assumes that the police are working on that day. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for that. And also the Bruce Forsyth reference, which nobody else will get. But thank you very much. Andreas.
Yes. We got the damage that this is doing to the country as a whole. And I'm disappointed at the reaction of the politicians who are somehow, in some cases, even encouraging kids to go out and protest. The spokesman for Podemos encouraging the anti-fascist fight. What's that talk about? I mean, I really don't understand it. Why are they talking about fascism in Spain? It's ridiculous language that encourages people to have some sort of justification for what is actually wrong.
But you could argue the reason that Podemos are doing that is Podemos are, and I don't want to go off topic a little bit, but Podemos are, if you like, having trouble at the moment because of what's been going on in their party and the disillusionment with the party and its aims, and the fact that the PSOE may not be looking to them for support for much longer.
Well, the problem with Podemos is that they haven't stopped being activists at any point, and they don't realise that they are inside the government. And when you're inside the government, you have to represent everybody in the country, not just your few friends or few voters that you've got. You then become someone who represents everyone. And they represent the police as much as the protesters. And that balance, they haven't got right yet, because they are still believed in their heads that they're activists. And they're not anymore. They're ruling the country. And that's frustrating to see, that they haven't fitted into their role correctly, and they continue to be agitators in the street. And that's absolutely wrong.
Well, we'll see how it develops. But any news from the Pablo Hasél himself? Has he made any more sort of pronouncements from presumably from his jail cell?
Sorry, I missed that. Sorry, John.
Any announcements from Pablo Hasél himself? Has he said anything from within? Has he got any messages out of jail? Is he silenced now that he is incarcerated?
The argument here is that this law shouldn't be in place anymore, and he shouldn't have been incarcerated. Perhaps they should be. They are talking about re-legislating on that particular crime, so the instead of going to jail, you just get like a fine or an administrative sort of sentence, not to go to jail. Now, there is an argument for that, where you say, okay, well, the reason why that law is in place still, was because of ETA. ETA is not there any longer, so that law should be removed. But let's not forget, there's other forms of terrorism now. ETA may have disappeared, but now we've got other, forms of... So should the law be changed for... and be specific to people who rap, or it's very difficult to strike a balance there. Look, I don't want anyone to go to prison, especially this kid. But I mean, this kid has got a string of sentences, as I said before, and there was no option for the judge. I'm sorry, mate, but you're going to have to go to jail, because this is enough is enough.
We've got another call coming. I just wanted some breaking news as well. Sad news, indeed. Former Liverpool and Scotland star Ian St. John has passed away at the age of 82. That's just breaking us some news. Of those of you who may remember, of course, The Saint and Groovy, which was required viewing, back in the 80s, but sad news breaking there. Good morning, Cool. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, hi, it's John in Meehan.
Morning, John.
On the point of view of this rapper, I mean, okay, the bit about the monarchy, I'd probably not be too sure about that. It could be an offence. I know it is in Spanish law, but whether it should be. But certainly inciting violence in England, people get prosecuted for that. Trump is possibly still going to be prosecuted for that in the United States. It's not an unusual thing. And just generally, on the point of free speech is usually brought up as a political argument for whichever side wants to adopt it today, as it were. But even in England, there is no such thing really as free speech, because there's libel and slander. You can't just say what you like. You can say what's correct. You can criticise the government, and in Spain, I'm pretty sure you can criticise...
John, for those who may not be up to speed, the difference between libel and slander, please.
Slander is spoken, libel is written.
Thank you very much for that.
And also, with libel, it can be the people who publish it. So someone writes to a newspaper, and the newspaper publishes it. Both the writer and the publisher are guilty.
Thank you very much for that, John. Good to have you with us as always. I'm pretty sure that actually there's a law in Spain as well against publishing statements like that in the Spanish media, because that's something that we've picked up on as journalists. Andres.
Yes, of course, it has to be. There's got to be a limit of what you can say, cannot say. Inciting violence, which is this particular case of this rapper, that's pretty bad. I mean, if you read what he's written in his songs, or so-called songs, they're terrible, by the way. They are quite terribly violent. I mean, to encourage people to put a car bomb for a particular politician with name and surname, I think that is pretty bad. The problem is that they're hiding behind and said, oh, we are artists, and this is our way of expressing our art. But listen, what's wrong with She Loves You, Yeah, Yeah, Yeah?
Indeed. Let's move on then, shall we, from this one. Just one more thing, Andreas, before we move on. I just thought that I was watching, because a lot of the social media videos were of the protesters, stroke rioters, stroke looters, being confronted and dealt with in La Ramblas, which is obviously very famous in Barcelona. It's a major tourist area. Barcelona has had in recent years a sort of prickly relationship with tourism. There was they stopped Airbnb because of, for obvious reasons, too many people were using residential places for wild stag weekends and hen weekends. But also, if you remember before we had COVID, there were the anti-tourist demonstrations, and in one case, of course, they even stormed a bus wearing balaclava.
Yeah, there was a movement in Barcelona against tourism. I'm sorry, Sharon, but on the face of it, it seemed to be encouraged by left-wing parties, extreme left-wing parties, I have to say. And there was a movement against tourism. It had no legs, because don't forget that Barcelona is one of the most visited cities in the world, and a lot of people live off those visitors, and of course they don't want them to go elsewhere, which is what I fear may achieve by this continuous rioting and violence. They're going to achieve is to send tourists away. I'm talking post-COVID, of course. So there was an element of people complaining about too many tourists. The truth being said is that it was rammed with tourists. Barcelona, I'd been there not that long ago before COVID, and it was incredible, the amount of visitors. But I see that as a positive thing, because the visitors to Barcelona, they spend on average more than visitors to other parts of the country. So it was, sort of, it's a positive thing. Of course, there were the cases of B&Bs and parties and stag nights and drunken people and all of that, but that is a question for the authorities to manage. So doesn't discredit the city, and people can visit freely and in a nice environment.
Let's move away from what's going on in terms of Barcelona, the city, but what's been going on in terms of Barcelona, the club, is quite something. Really quite quite shocking developments overnight.
It's quite incredible what's happened. It's another corruption scandal, Giles. We hadn't had enough in Spain. This one started a few weeks ago. Barcelona Football Club, let me just give you some background. Unlike British clubs, for instance, who are owned by private, millionaires and oligarchs and everything else, Barcelona Football Club is owned by the fans. So the board of directors and the president, one of the things they've got in place, they have to have in place, is a due diligence sort of team. So to make sure that all the money that is spent by the club, contracts and all sorts of things, they go through a process of due diligence. About a few weeks ago, the due diligence team resigned and left the club. Because they said that there was some contracts they hadn't gone under the control of the due diligence. What happened now is, it appears, allegedly, because all this is being investigated, although the president has already been arrested and spent 1 night in jail, is that there was a particular contract for worth €1 million that apparently is six times over the market value of that type of contract, to contract a social media company to promote certain people, certain players, and to go against certain players and certain people within the club. In view that there is an election for new president next Sunday, I think it is, so that a contract went below the control of the due diligence team. What happens there, as usual, when a contract is worth six times more than the market value of that type of contract, the suspicion that appears is that maybe some of the money have landed in someone else, someone's pocket. Hence, the judge and the judicial police investigating. But there must be quite advanced in investigation. But they raided the offices of the club yesterday and arrested four people, and spent a night in the police station. And this morning we'll know more because they're declaring in front of the judge. So we'll see if this has got legs. But it doesn't look very, very good. Because obviously, as I said, the suspicion is that when you overpay for a contract, is there may be some money going haywire.
I mean, the labyrinthine dark arts of Spanish football politics, Andres, are something to behold.
Yes, I mean, also there was also an incident that a few weeks ago happened, all happened at the same time. It was leaked to the press, the contract of Messi. And that got a few headlines for a few days, simply because Messi's contract was worth 550 million for 4 years. Because the club was filing heavy, heavy losses, a lot of people question why was Messi getting that sort of money. To be honest, I think it's a ridiculous amount of money by any stretch of the imagination. But Messi probably generates that sort of money anyway. So it's not, these big stars, they do generate money for the club and for themselves. So, but it's very strange that that contract was leaked at the same time that these people resigned from the due diligence team, and all this has ended into this mess, which is, this investigation for... this contract being,
and as well as this, I mean, we have. I mean, Real Madrid is known for its politics, famously. I mean, these are not sort of football clubs like Accrington Stanley or Barnsley or something like this. It's an immense power, immense politics. And you think about the ongoing tax scandals into Spanish footballs, Ronaldo, Messi, etc. You think of, and I was only speaking to Alistair Spence Clark last week about the David Beckham law that they brought into make Spanish football more appealing to foreign footballers. I mean, it really is a case of, do you think them having to I mean, Spanish football and the Paul Breen Turner, football commentator who's currently over in Gibraltar, used to say this all the time about the unlevel playing field of Spanish funding, Real Madrid and Barcelona getting the huge amount of money that they do whilst the rest of the La Liga have to pick up the scraps rather than an even distribution amongst them.
Yeah, well, the two big clubs exercised a very very strong control of Spanish La Liga. What they say, it goes, because they are the ones that generate more money. And as a consequence of that, they want to rule the game. And I guess they do. But in Spanish football, there's always been a grey cloud over it, with transfer of players, with presidents sacked and someone comes in and owners doing this and that. There's always been, and the Spanish Federation, they've never done anything to put some order in the house. The consequence of that is things that we're seeing, like yesterday and today, that one of the biggest clubs in the world has got his president's got a big problem, and he's in jail.
Going to take a quick break and then back for the final 10 minutes of the first hour of Viewpoints.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And good morning to those listening in via the app. Good to have you with us. Don't forget there's an app for everything these days. We are no exception. And good morning to Gavin as well. Good morning to Fox, who said that he assumes I didn't drink my milk. Not with my coffee. And also, this is an interesting one on WhatsApp. Thank you so much. Who said, and yet there's been as many different winners of La Liga this millennium. 21 years. As the EPL Premier League, six different winners against five in La Liga. And the five are... I was going to put you to the test here, Andres. Do you know which the five clubs are who've won La Liga since 2000?
Yes, I'll tell you.
Without Googling.
Barcelona, Real Madrid, Atletico, Real Sociedad and Deportivo.
Valencia.
Oh, sorry.
No, there you go. You don't win your million there, Andres, but there you go. But you're here on Viewpoint. And thank you to Richard for sending that in. He should be now known as Stato. But there you go. Huge disparity there between Spanish clubs. And saying, considering the Hispanity... Considering the disparity, Spanish clubs tend to hold their own. Let's get away from football, please. Who are not so super anymore, yes. There's more and more coming out about former King Juan Carlos. He made a back tax payment and his relationship with a quote-unquote business consultant is making the front page of El País, at least in English in the website.
Let me tell you, on the 23rd of February, there was the anniversary of the attempt of coup in Spain. I don't know if you remember.
The 40th anniversary, wasn't it? 40th anniversary. Trujillo, wasn't it?
30th? It was 1981.
40th, yeah.
40th, yes. They re-entered the Congress and they hijacked the parliament and everything else, and they attempted to do a coup, a military coup. Now, history books will tell you King Juan Carlos was a key figure on that not being successful. He got most of the army generals to back him, and he negotiated in the background with all the political forces and all the generals and everything else, and that failed. And for that, he gained a lot of support from everyone because he did well. I mean, you can't say he didn't do well because he did, and you cannot criticize him for that. In fact, it should be held for what he did. Now the problem is in later years. Especially when his immunity ceased from 2014, when he let his son become the king, and he was subject to any citizen to the law, and without immunity, all these financial affairs have come up, which have disappointed a lot of people in Spain because we never expected the king to behave like that. It's like an endless story. He regularized with the tax office 600,000 or 700,000 a couple of months ago, and suddenly now he's now made another back payment to the tax office of 4 million. Where is all this money coming from? I mean, that boggles me, you know, because these guys should have. What the assignment from the royal household over the years, which is not much, to be honest, because everything is paid for, you know, all the security, all the travel and everything else is paid for. So his actual salary is not so much. What did he get 4 million to pay some tax bill? I mean, that's the question that at some point we'll have to answer. But apparently he's done that, so there's no penal case against him, which could send him to prison, because the tax fraud could also be send you to prison if you're convicted. And in this case, if charges are brought forward, the sentence won't be a prison sentence. Because it would be devastating for the country if he was charged, tried, and ended with a prison sentence, what would this say about the institution and about the country itself. You know, our image is split down the toilet now, with all the problems we have in Catalonia and all the problems we've had with the economy, sort of being lagging behind all the rest of the European countries. And on top of that, can you imagine having an ex-king in jail? I mean, that would be terrible.
I mean, he's been in self-imposed exile, didn't he, for a long time? Was it Saudi or was it the United Arab Emirates?
He's in the United Emirates, yeah, and he's been there for a few months. There is talk that he may come back soon. I don't know if on a flying visit or just to stay permanently. Let's not forget that at the moment there's no charges against him, nor here, nor in Switzerland, which is another country that's investigating him. And at the moment there are no formal charges. So he would be free, in theory, he would be free to come and go if he wanted to. And he has said that if he's called to declare in front of the judge, he will do it. Just need a phone call and he says he'll turn up. So he's not in exile as such. He hasn't escaped justice like the Catalan leader in Brussels, who is being requested to appear in front of the judge. In the case of King Juan Carlos, that hasn't happened yet. If the investigation goes forward and wrongdoing appears to be clear, I imagine he'll be charged. But the consequences of charging King Juan Carlos in terms of the stability of the institution itself is quite scary, because that would, I don't know what it would do, but it would be very damaging.
Well, we wait to see. I mean, it just seems to be a very sad fall from grace, if you like. And as I said before, if you think about, you know, the high watermark, if you like, which was 92, from that period from 81 through to 92, when we had the World Fair in Sevilla and the Olympics. And those of you who remember that and watching the king, who seemed to be at every event, and Spain did so magnificently well in that it really seemed to be, the underlining of democracy embodied in the ruler.
Yeah.
The monarch, not the ruler.
Those days were amazing. He was at the peak of popularity and everything else. I remember at the time when I lived in the UK, and there was a year when the monarchy had trouble. I think it was 91 or 92, something like that. And I remember people saying to me, said, oh, we wish our monarchy was like the Spanish monarchy. They're so good and so sort of friendly and approachable and everything else. And look, this is the reverse case. Now the Queen is at the highest of her popularity, and King Juan Carlos is, hiding in some Arab country. So that's how the wheel of fortune has changed in that sense. You can't take away what he did for the country earlier on during his time. But unfortunately, it has disappointed a lot of people, and is the history books will look at it on a yin yang, the positive and the negative. He could have gone into the history books as one of the most successful kings ever for Spain.
Andreas, we're going to run out of time once again. Thanks for bringing us this update. Be good, stay safe, and we'll speak very soon.
Okay, thank you, Giles. All the best.
Andreas Gallardo will bring us a Spanish update. Right, end of the first half of Viewpoint. Back after the national international news.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests. Viewpoint.
Yeah, back with me, Giles Brown, from the studios of TRE Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain. Back for the second hour of Viewpoint. If you want to get involved with the show,
to contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And just going back to some of the reactions from that first hour with Andres Gallardo. Richard says, could be worse, Andres. The UK monarch opts to pay tax, and we don't know how much they do pay if they do decide to pay. Ray's coming on the WhatsApp as well. Because Juan Carlos did good things in the past, we should forgive him for what he did more recently. Perhaps Begun was a lovely girl and could be and should be forgiven. Two, just a quick look through your papers. Some more stuff coming in through the papers today. Daily Mirror this morning calls for prayers for Philip after the Duke of Edinburgh was moved to specialist hospital test on a pre-existing heart condition. Daily Mail splashes on allegations that Boris Johnson is secretly trying to set up a charity to help pay for a costly makeover of his Downing Street flat. The papers said the scheme could cause claims of a conflict of interest if it's bankrolled by Tory donors. And the Financial Times says that Chancellor Rishi Sunak will use tomorrow's budget to help to launch new rules aimed at helping the City of London attract fast-growing companies to compete with financial centres, including New York, Amsterdam and Frankfurt. Daily Mirror, Queen's anguish over Duke. Prayers for Philip. Daily Mail, how can Harry go ahead with TV broadcast when Philip is so sick? The Times, Prince Philip transferred to a heart specialist and a picture of Nicolas Sarkozy and Carla Bruni, his wife. Telegraph, Duke's health is more important than opera, insists Palace, and also fewer than 10 COVIDs over 80 sent to ICU each day. The Guardian, Hancock seizes on data to urge EU to think on Oxford jab, FT, as we mentioned before, and the Star, Ronaldo's misses. He can't do any chores in case he gets injured. Is this the best excuse? Is it the best excuse ever? And yes, Richard has said the reason that Harry can do the broadcast is because it was pre-recorded. Yes, indeed it was. Right then, delighted with the time, 10 minutes past the top of the hour. Delighted to be joining me live on the line for the first time, I think, this year. Rosalind Scott-Gibb, good morning to you, Rosalind.
Good morning, Josh. Good morning, everybody. Yes, I think it is. God, time goes so fast.
Happy New Year, then, in that case.
We're in lockdown.
All right, then, what's been crossing your radar? I know that several subjects have. 952-78-4000, the phone number, studio@tre.radio is the email.
Yes, well, of course, a lot of what we already have been talking about, freedom of speech, is a very delicate balance as to what's right and what's wrong. So there's a few comments on that. And conspiracy theories, since you had one on, last Tuesday, and it's been a big issue, of course, in CPAC or TPAC or the Golden Trump that was wheeled out over the weekend. So that, and, you know, the media and so many people who, you know, I think are intelligent, etc., and they say, oh, I don't trust the media.
It's an interesting one because we had John Harper on last week, and he was saying, just you wait. You know, Trump's going to reveal something rather special at CPAC this week, over the weekend. Did you see anything that made you sit up and take notice? Did you see any smoking gun pulled out?
Well, I was delighted that they didn't cover the whole thing too much. I mean, I obviously cover a lot of different stations and opinions and everything, and I'm glad he didn't get that much. But things like, well, I may decide to run and win again for the third time, you know, and there's talk of that this could be treasonous, you know, and that 73% of the Republicans believe there was fraud in the election. I mean, this is spinning, it's still being spinning along, you know, and then they're minimizing, sanitizing the whole January 6th invasion and trying to blame it on Antifa,
that's the word,
and everybody else on the left, when, of course, we know it was the extreme right. So I'm going to just take the opportunity to go back and to my own experience in journalism, because after university, I went to Kenya, and I ran a managing editor of an international tourist magazine, which was put in all the offices around the world and on the airline. So all my friends were international journalists and photographers, and they were my colleagues and my friends. And they risked, I didn't, but they risked their lives getting news and information and making being using a lot of integrity and getting their story across. Admittedly, sometimes their presses and their editors in various countries changed it around and they didn't recognize it, but generally they worked really hard. And then I was in South Africa. I was the editor of the largest community newspaper of 12, the only woman, and everybody worked with, you know, great effort to find the story, find the truth, make sure it was accurate and everything else. So that's my experience. Then I came here and I was a features writer and photographer for a long time and a columnist. A Woman's View, I wrote. And now I teach internationally to professionals, and I talk to people all over the world every day. And because I'm teaching English, we can talk about many different subjects. So it gives me, so that's the background of my opinions. Although I do believe we're all entitled to our opinions. So the other person that was on talk radio last week that I really wanted to phone in and just give another opinion was this man who's written a book on all the reasons why we should not follow the news. You know, don't get too involved in the news. Spend your time doing other things. And I just feel it's so important to do just the opposite. Spend a lot of time trying to find out what's happening in our world today, because we're at a very interesting and crucial time in the world. And it's so important not to just switch on one station or read one newspaper. And because what happens is so many, again, people who I would have thought would be with, you know, following these conspiracy theories, and people I know, they go down this black hole of conspiracy theories, and then they don't follow any of the international press at all.
Yeah, but you could argue the point, Roslyn, that people, you say stay informed and take in as much information as you can. A lot of people are getting their information from their social media, and as we used to argue on this, the problem with this is that, you know, social media isn't a news platform, or is it? And if the algorithms, the dreaded algorithms, will send you stuff that you agree with.
Well, of course, and I disagree. I mean, I just don't think they should be getting their all their facts from social media, you know. And so I think there has to be more spoken up. I feel there's too much room available for kind of condoning conspiracy theories, and not enough on the international press and the effort that's being made. But it doesn't mean that they're squeaky clean. You have to use your, people have to think for themselves, do their research. Stephen always mentions this quite a lot. You've got to look things up, do your research, check things out. Don't believe everything you read. But don't play ostrich and say, oh, I don't follow the news anymore.
Having said that, of course, you say do your research. I am constantly getting shot down on social media by people who don't, shall we say, don't concord with what I say, and they say do your research. You know, the vaccine's full of Bill Gates's whatever and microchips, and it's all something to do with the Illuminati and you know, the 12-foot lizard people.
Yes, well, that's what I'm talking about. When you go, so a lot of these people, they take one or two or three sources of conspiracy theories and follow only that, and they really do believe this is their truth, and this is most unfortunate. But there has to be a little bit more going out against all these conspiracy theories. But I mean, watching CPAC or TPAC, I didn't watch, obviously, I just but you know, it was so sad going back to all the total lies and misinformation of Trump and all his followers. We've had a little reprieve, what, for a month or so? More than a month. And it, you know, it's just,
The thing is, you know, like him or loathe him, be a Trump supporter or anti him, he's a populist. You know, he is a showman. He's a politician. He's an ex-president now, and you have to give him, what is the saying? You know, salute the rank, not the man, etc. He was president of the United States. He's an ex-president, and he obviously still has a following. And if you look at the people who were sharing the social media, you know, he's still got wealthy backers. He's
he's still got 70% of the Republican Party who are saying that, you know, he is the man, that they were cheated out of the election results. You've still got the CEO of MyPillow who was going to supposedly reveal the counting machines were rigged. And there's large swathes of America away from the liberal elites, if you want to call them that, from the West Coast and the East Coast, or the media intelligence, of which apparently I'm one, that don't know what we're talking about, Roz.
Well, I'm sorry. The normal procedure when a president does not win the election is to give the new president a free rein, and they stay out of sight and out of the media for at least 6 months, if not a year. That's the normal where it's done. Whereas this weekend, he spent his whole time in his speech. They gave him the top. I mean, it just amazes me that he still has such a following. It just, you know, it's most disconcerting. But and he spent his whole time saying the lies of all the good things he'd done during his 4 years, and how Biden had destroyed everything, and was, you know, he was totally, it was very, very negative and counterproductive.
We have a caller on the line. Good morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles. It's Peter.
Morning, Peter.
Morning. I can almost detect that snigger under.
Not a snigger. I just kind of knew that you were going to come in, Peter.
Right. Okay. I just want to ask, Rosalind, why, as a defender of free speech, I take it you're right, Rosalind, defender of the international journalism. Why do you wish that Trump didn't get so much coverage if you believe in free speech?
Well, the first sentence I said was the fine line of freedom of speech. But he speaks a lot of lies. I mean, they had to cover the lies during the 4 years, and it's like 3,700 lies. You know, it was
because
like 19
again,
a day.
But because you go to the mainstream or the corporate media, you're being fed these lies because they're just as bad as the other side. As we've seen now, since Biden's come in, they're lying all the time. And Biden's lying all the time. So we all know they're lying, but...
True. That's not true.
Yes, it is true. But do you think that Trump should have been deplatformed by Twitter?
Of course.
Yeah? So where's the freedom of speech there, then?
Well, they gave him total freedom of speech for 4 years. And finally, he went too far. I mean, he was responsible for all that insurrection on the 6th of January.
Insurrection. The most successful country this world has ever seen, the most powerful country this world has ever seen, take the 10 biggest navies in the world, add them together, won't come anywhere near the United States of America, and a handful of scruffy people were allowed into Washington, D.C. because the door was open for them. They didn't know what to do when they got in there, and you call that an insurrection, yeah?
No, I'm sorry. It was highly organized, and he was planning it for 6 months when he saw that he may well not win the election. He already started stirring the extreme right wing up through his tweeting.
Can you give me your source, how you knew he'd plan it for 6 months?
Oh, it's available. Listen, I don't believe everything I read or everything I hear by journalists, but I select ones who I know are experienced, ethical, and good. I can tell the difference.
Let me just say to you, have you heard of a thing called IDW?
IDW, what's that?
It's the intellectual dark web. You know why that exists? Because very smart people go there to discuss things where they are not in fear of being deplatformed. I mentioned to you, Giles, a long time ago about deplatforming, and I said we'd be hearing a lot about it. And now, if you don't agree with certain things, if you don't say certain things, or you do certain things, you will be just ostracized from community. You'll be deplatformed. The same way as when the vaccinations, if you don't take the vaccinations, you'll just drop out of society. You won't be allowed to exist. So we're deplatforming these people all the time. Now, Facebook is being sued by a guy called Crowder. He has a YouTube channel called Louder or Crowder. He's suing them. Now, he's saying, and he's right, and he'll probably win his case because he's got a lot of money coming in to back him up. But Facebook can't keep telling everybody that they are open and you're allowed to say what you want on their platform when they keep deplatforming certain individuals, certain thoughts, and certain groups. So they're not acting as they say they are. So they'll get sued, and they'll probably probably lose. But it's time that these great big corporations that are deciding what we can and can't say are taken to task. And I can't believe that you can sit there and talk about free speech at the same time as you want to take people off of Twitter, you want people not to get their point across at a CPAC meeting, just because it doesn't fit with your ideology. So,
this is when there's... this is when it's proven that he's lying, that he's spreading misinformation or insurrection.
Can you tell me who proved it?
There are the statements that he made. There's hundreds of them. Well, the thing is, you don't know anything about them because you don't listen to any of the international media.
Rosalind, can you please... Right, because we were talking about facts, and can you quote me the very sentence that Donald Trump said that incited the riot?
Oh, it's quite obvious that it wasn't one. There were many, many.
Do you remember when Nancy Pelosi said, I'm surprised there aren't more people on the streets and more people protesting, and they should go out there today and do something? Can you remember her saying that?
No.
But Peter, just to leap in here, Peter, I mean, a lot of people were saying around, because unfortunately I was ill, as you know, during that period. I'm kicking myself as well, because it would have been fascinating to do a viewpoint after the January 6th, the storming of the Capitol, the fact that they walked in, and like you said, they didn't have a clue what they were doing apart to take a few things to sell on eBay afterwards. But the way that the impeachment went afterwards, and they were saying that, and you know, Trump was impeached again, he wasn't found guilty, and they're taking the Trump saying go down there and I'm paraphrasing here, Peter, because I don't have this transcript in front of me, but you know, go down there and basically make yourselves known, wasn't he? That's perhaps the only thing that, or the main thing that they're saying, that was Trump instructing people to take over Capitol Hill.
Exactly, and what you have to remember, Giles, is it's not a court. It went an impeachment trial. It's not a court of law, and there's no judge there. And it was always and a president who came in on unity and unifying the country. Then the first thing he does, same as after 2016, is attempt to impeach the president, knowing full well it would not be successful because it's not a trial and because it was on numbers of who controlled the House and the Senate and etc. So it was never going to be successful. So why he went that route, I do not know.
Got some bits. I've just been sent in. Then thank you very much, Richard. Sent in the direct quotes. Okay, so he said lots of things. We will stop the steal. Rosalind, I'll come back to you in a minute. Sorry. Excuse me. Rosalind, we will stop the steal. We will never give up. We will never concede. It doesn't happen. If you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore. Peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard. We are going to the Capitol. Now Richard says, your move, Peter, but...
the three words that stand out is peacefully and patriotically. That stands out. And fight. And fight is, I could quote you, Churchill, fight them on the beaches.
Peter, thanks very much for your calls in there. I'm sure I'll speak to you a bit later on as well. Good to hear from you. 952-78-4000. Roz.
After they'd broken in and destroyed a lot of beat up the only police that were there, and eventually, 3.5 hours later, because I watched every minute of it from beginning, for 5 or 6 hours, I couldn't believe what was going on. Eventually, when Trump eventually agreed to have the police come, and he was forced by his staff to go out and make a statement, he said, "You patriots, and I love you. You're very special."
We all saw that and we heard that. More stuff coming in, but we've got a phone call in. Always busy. 952-78-4000. Morning, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, it's Johnny Mehas. I hope Peter forgives me, but when Churchill said fight them on the beaches, I think he actually did mean fight them on the beaches.
We were at war at that point, and we will never surrender. And he was saying that the British people wouldn't give in, and we would literally fight them on the beaches.
Sure. But Peter, I think, was using that to prove it in a political sense. We've got to fight for our party or fight for the election. But he actually, unfortunately, I think quoting Churchill, he effectively was saying, like, go and fight. Really, so... the opposite of what Peter, I think, was intending.
Thank
Sorry,
you.
I couldn't miss that one.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thank you for your call in there and this one in as well. Trump said peacefully after they had invaded the Capitol.
Ross. Yeah, exactly. And then Peter's saying, Trump has done. He's done more damage than any other president that's internationally as well as within the country.
I'm going to take a quick short break. That makes no sense. I'm going to take a short break and then we'll come back to some more Viewpoint.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Always live, always lively, this week being no exception. If you want to get your viewpoint across,
to contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And we're going live to the lines, 952-78-4000. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles. It's Sean from Flying Heron.
Morning, Sean.
I'd just like to thank Peter for his useful contribution. Nice to have Roz around.
I was hoping Roz was going to appear, actually.
And also to very strongly defend John Harper from last week, the supposed nutter, the supposed tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist. Actually, John talks a great deal of sense, as both Giles and I know, and as many hundreds of thousands of listeners know as well. There will be many who disagree, and they're entitled to disagree. But I think, as always, we want to have a look at facts. That's so important. And first of all, Roz, you have you've always said, by the way, that for years and years, well, actually, I draw upon various sources of international news, and therefore I get a wide variety of pieces of information. I've always thought, when you've said these things, and I know that you're talking about the likes of the mainstream American media, in part, Al Jazeera, certainly, you've mentioned in the past, MSNBC, CNN, NBC, etc. You've always denigrated Fox. Ironically, many Trump supporters denigrate Fox, too, because they feel that they have betrayed many conservative principles. Anyway, it's always seemed to me that those who claim that they draw upon a wide range of international media, which are basically legacy mainstream media, and by the way, I would exempt to a large degree Talk Radio Europe from that title, even though there are large parts of Talk Radio Europe who might claim, well, we are mainstream media, because, for example, you draw upon the Sky News for your news, much of which I believe has been very wrong. But what is very much to Talk Radio Europe's credit is that not only do you allow free speech in programs like this, which is extremely important, of course, but also, over the years, Talk Radio Europe have run a number of very, very interesting interviews with people that have written books, in some cases up to 25 years research, on exactly the very thing which many of those that do not like populism, and I think we are agreed that much of the debate is actually about globalism or corporatism, for want of a better word, and that is both of the left, so-called, and of the right, so-called, say, for example, in America, Republicans and Democrats. So when we actually look at corporatism versus populism, we find that nearly all the drive towards free speech and the defense of free speech comes from populism.
Right.
Now, a few facts about the so-called absolute nonsense conspiracy theory involving the stolen election.
Right, okay.
And I'm not going to go into great detail because literally this would take hours to go through the evidence that suggests that the election was full of irregularities. Absolutely full. I've followed this very closely for the last few months. But just a simple example, if we have a look at the state of Georgia, and as we know, the election actually was swung, it hung on a tiny handful of states. In fact, three states alone, if they'd gone to Trump rather than to Biden, they would have made it 269 votes each in the Electoral College, with the Republicans at that point having the casting vote. Now, take Georgia, for example. Very important state, of course, I think, with at least 20 Electoral College votes. Now, for hours and hours on election night, we had Trump up by a substantial margin against Biden, 57% to 42%.
Right.
Then we had something called drop and roll, which is well documented by Joe DiGenova, who is the former U.S. attorney for Washington, D.C., but many others have documented this very closely, including Peter Navarro, and it's called drop and roll. And what they did, and they did it in all of the key swing states and others.
Sure, I'm going to have to hurry along a little bit on this one, though, please, because I've only got 20 minutes or so left, and I've got some calls coming in, please.
Sure. What they did is they dumped lots of unexplained ballots for hours. Then, and this is really key part of much of the proof in numerous states, there were 53 batches of votes counted, okay? Now, every single vote batch had exactly 50.05% to Biden versus 49.95% to Trump. This is well documented, for example, in the Gateway Pundit. And they ran this. It's called, that's why it's called the roll.
Right.
They rolled this until they had enough of a majority, which was in the case of Georgia, about 10,000 votes, which is a tiny, tiny, wafer-thin majority. Once they'd achieved that majority, they then declared for Biden. You had a virtually identical thing going on in Michigan, for example, where for hours, Trump was up 53% to 43%. Then the drop came in of 141,258 votes dumped for Biden. And then you had the roll. And the roll took place from 9:15 onwards. Now, in the case of those 141,000 plus votes, it was a 50 to 49 advantage for Biden.
Right.
But the statistical impossibility of that is clear for anyone to look at and think about. In addition, there are these things called affidavits. Now, an affidavit, as many may know, is a sworn testimony. Now, there are thousands of affidavits all over those swing states and elsewhere from outraged and disgruntled, often elderly counters of vote counters who just happen to be members of the Republican Party, and perfectly decent people, just like they're perfectly decent people in the Democrat Party, and they were consistently intimidated and prevented from seeing what was going on with the way that votes were being counted. There are so many examples, so many irregularities, and all of it resulted in very small margins of victory in most of those states.
Yeah.
So it gives you some idea that it's far from an absurd conspiracy theory that must be suppressed, as it is suppressed on the social media.
Right.
There is a great deal of evidence, and that's just the beginning.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
Bye. Again for the call in there, Sean. I know that there's lots you have to say on that, but unfortunately, I'm in to the last 20 minutes or so of the program. Just want to go to some, I'm going to go to a break because I'm running out of time, and then I'm going to come back to Roz.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
And we're into the last 80 minutes or so. If you want to get your viewpoint across, make it kind of brief, please. We've got a lot to get through.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Going quickly to the lines. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles. It's Alf.
Morning, Alf.
Oh, I can never miss this when these guys come on. He speaks with such authority, with such knowledge. He comes across as, you know, I am right. He's got absolutely no information. He's got no facts. You know, all these roll-out votes were postal votes, and they were late because the postal service, that's the way they deliver them. They've done it in every election for the past 20 years. It's not unusual. And worse than that, it makes a wild assumption that all these courts and all these judges and all these investigators never found anything that what he's alluding to, that there was some sort of fiddle. And the vote counters, I've tried to explain this before, even in the UK, we have, and they're not vote counters, they're vote watchers. You watch the ballot papers to make sure that your votes don't go on somebody else's pile. And that's all you do. You don't touch the ballot papers, you don't get near the ballot papers, you don't get near the counters, you're the other side of a table, everything. America does it no differently. So when they come across and say, oh, there's this information, there's that information, isn't it strange how they all did this? Well, okay, but where's the evidence to prove that what happened was wrong? Not one single court case was upheld. Not one. So stop with all this nonsense.
Sean says there were decent people being intimidated by Democrats.
Yeah, no. He was talking about what he called the vote counters, and what I think it's just terminology that America uses. They are not vote counters. They are not entitled to watch other than from a distance. So you see ballot boxes being tipped out, you make sure that all the papers stay on the table, that if anything falls on the floor, it's picked up and dealt with properly, that when it goes from one table to the next, it's all handled. That's what all those people do. Now, they weren't barred from doing it. What they wanted to do, and you're entitled to have a specific number, and because of COVID, I mean, I think it was a mistake by the state, they reduced the number of people who could do that count watching. You know, and they couldn't help that. But what happened is this unruly mob again outside, being driven on, being told it's all a fiddle, it's being, you know, managed. And they stopped them from getting in the hole because they weren't entitled to go into the hole. So it wasn't anything that was, you know, always stopping the watchers from watching, because there were watchers in the hall. You could see them on the television. Well, I could see them because I've done it as a job, so I know what I'm looking for. But for ordinary folk, it's just a pile of people walking around the hall. Anyway.
Yeah.
All this junk that they keep talking about, there isn't one shred of evidence to back up the claim that it was fiddled. Not one. Anyway, Rosalind, nice to hear your voice again, mate.
Thanks for your call in
there.
Thanks so much for the call in there. 952-78-4000. Right, let's go to the WhatsApps and the messages in. The ones that I can say, I can repeat anyway. This one in, which says, pity Sean wasn't representing Trump in court. Maybe he wouldn't have lost 66 legal actions disputing election results. Maybe he was in the one he did win. Get Tom Jones on the line and he'll sing it to Alf. Okay. Also, a new slash in or saying something saying, Germany's seen extending lockdown measures to set for the next 4 weeks. Spain calls for one final effort for another month and a half. Macron hints at no easing for at least 4 to 6 weeks. Why is it that these Trump supporters ignore that all is checked and double checked against fraud? Aren't there federal sheriffs in place? It's not unusual. Thank you very much for Tom Jones. Also, this one in. I'm not a Trump fan. This is from Sean. I'm not a Trump, different Sean. I'm not a Trump fan, but good man, Peter. This one in from. Hi, Giles. Read that day when the crowd stormed into the Capitol building. The people who died unnecessarily, were they armed with guns? We think not. So why were they killed? Good show. Cheers. Hi again. Makes us all think pure poorly of gun law in the US. Mad lot. Rosalind, over
okay,
to you.
Good. Yeah, well, all of this stuff that Sean was saying, there were 61, I think one of your people said 65, but I thought it was 61 cases that went to court, but not one of them gave any shred of evidence, and they were thrown out immediately. All of the cases were thrown out. And Trump even then tried to get all the federal government. He did everything he could possibly do through intimidation, promises, anything he could do to change the vote. And then the federal government immediately, unanimously also threw it out. So all these facts were looked at. There were no facts. There were no facts presented in the court cases. And then he tried to intimidate the governor of Georgia. All these swing states, he did everything he could to intimidate them, and they stood up to him. So these votes were double-checked and triple-checked because there was such a problem with Trump. Obviously, they were very careful. There's no doubt that Biden won by a good majority. So to bring that up is it amazes me.
Got a WhatsApp from Peter. Trump did win one small court action. Live to the lines. Morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Charles, Peter again.
Yes, Peter.
Just quickly, thank you, John, for pointing out what I said, because that proved my point. Is the fact is how you perceive what was said, and that's why I used the extreme, as in Churchill. If I said I was fighting for my last breath with justice, that doesn't encourage anyone to go out and fight on the beaches, whereas his did. So it's how you listen to it and how you perceive it, and that's why we have freedom of choice, freedom of speech.
Yeah.
Secondly, Alf, the 21st century America is not Britain's Labour 1960, and you keep comparing the two, like when you counted votes and things like that. It's ridiculous. And again, misinformed, Roslyn and Alf, the reason they didn't prove fraud, because there wasn't enough fraud. What the Supreme Court wanted, and it was that the vote in America was unconstitutional. Because of COVID and other things, many states changed the way they did the vote, which was unconstitutional. The way you do the vote is written in the Constitution and cannot be changed. It's written in stone. And many of that wasn't carried out. And the Supreme Court kept kicking it back down and saying, we needed you to go back, you politicians, to sort out what's what. It's not going to come up here unless it's unconstitutional. And it could have gone that way, but they kept going for the fraud thing.
You could have argued that they shouldn't have had an election at all until the COVID had been defeated then.
Exactly, and if you read the Constitution, there are many people that will read it like that. And I would have done that. But of course, the press on Trump's back were talking him as a dictator and he wants to call off the election and all this. So that was never going to happen. But that election was unconstitutional. And as we speak today, many, many of those states that Sean has just mentioned are looking at it and are changing to make sure it doesn't happen again, because the election was unconstitutional and it should not have stood. And if it went to that Supreme Court and it was argued that the election was not constitutional, I would imagine, my personal opinion, I'm not a constitutional expert, but I would imagine that he'd probably win. And it probably would get another vote. But it's never going to happen. It's in the past. But again, it's people reading the corporate media talking of fraud and this man said this and that man. Alf had absolutely no evidence, nothing, ditto, nothing on what he just said. But the fact of the matter is it was an unconstitutional election. I'll leave you on that one, Charles.
Thank you, Peter. Good to have you with us there. Ross.
Some people would say the Constitution is out of date anyway, because it's so old that it's very difficult to work within it. Trump is trying to change make it restricting voting to one day. No, he's just trying to move it around to suit him. Just the bit about the guns and the people that the
Max came in with, yeah,
that were killed. I mean, they were using, there were 154 police officers, no, they didn't have guns, were injured. And as we know, five or six were killed. And no, it was very, very violent.
Got a call in again, Ross. Just going to take this one quickly. Morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, good morning to you. It's John from sunny Islington.
Good morning, John.
Morning. One thing that's always amazed me, and I can remember saying this many times, is that A is mad as a box of frogs, although he'd done some brilliant things. And also, what I've always said, he would destroy himself by his ego and his narcissism. What amazes me now...
You said narcissism there, didn't you, just to check?
Sorry?
Said narcissism there, didn't you? I just thought you might have said something else for a minute.
No, I could have done, probably. Drop the N, yeah. He did some brilliant things, I must admit. But what amazes me is the Republicans are stuck by him, and this must have brought great joy to Rosalind. Good morning.
Morning, John.
He destroyed the Republican Party. He had two shoo-ins to finish up to, so the Republicans would retain the House or the Senate, I can't remember which was the House and the Senate, I think. But effectively, he made horrific criticisms of Georgia itself, and then expected the Georgian people to actually vote his two guys in, which normally there were odds on to get in. He totally destroyed the Republican Party, and I'm surprised how many Republicans are stuck by him. But unfortunately, he did some very, very good things, particularly in the finance side, which I've seen, where most corporations, and this is the problem with life today, people criticize capitalism, but everybody's a capitalist. Capitalism is within us all. It's what we've allowed the corporatism to run rife, as seen by the EU. Corporatism runs right there, and unfortunately, the EU would like to change it, Germany and France in particular, but it suits Republic of Ireland, Netherlands, and Luxembourg, particularly Luxembourg, where the UK buys 20 billion of goods from Amazon there, and if you look at your contract, nothing's booked to the UK, it's all booked to Luxembourg, a country of 600,000 people. But the unanimity of voting is the EU's Achilles heel.
John,
need majority of voting to get these things through, which many, many of the countries want, but one country can stop it, which is ridiculous.
I'll leave you with that, and I'll wait
for the sun to come out. It'll be another fortnight.
Indeed, good to hear from you. I've heard of an axis of evil in my time, but I never thought we'd have the Republic of Ireland, the Netherlands, and the powerhouse that is Luxembourg. John, thank you for your call in there, my friend. Good to have you with us. Roz.
Oh, Giles, yes. Well, I don't see that Trump did very much good at all, if any. I mean, he promised a new health program. He did everything he could to destroy the existing one and never produced one at all. No health program. In a rich country like the U.S., there isn't a decent health program. The environment, he did everything he could to give big industry control over the environment. And COVID, the doctors say that 80% of the people who died were a result of Trump not doing anything, just playing ostrich, just not doing anything and being totally inefficient. So I can't see what good he did at all. He takes credit for things he hasn't done, of course.
Let's have a look at some of the WhatsApps in at the moment. This is from Ian in Camberley in the UK. Excuse me. In the USA, the state delegate system belongs to a past age before fast communications were possible. It should be changed to reflect the actual votes cast by the actual votes cast by the citizens. Trump did win one minor court action. It was a procedural matter in Pennsylvania. The Supreme Court did have the option of hearing whether the election was unconstitutional. It is difficult to believe that Trump's legion of lawyers and constitutional experts knew less about the US Constitution than someone living in the South of Spain. You'd be surprised the breadth of knowledge that we find here on TRE. You lost, get over it. Donald Trump thought he had won and didn't want to call it off. Also, what did Trump do brilliantly? Calling on the line, we're into the last 3 minutes, so quick call, then I want to go to Ross as well. Morning call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's the viewpoint, please?
How you doing? Yeah, Noel Pierce, Tormelina.
Morning, Noel.
Good morning to you. How are you? What I can't understand, you know, is that Trump claims that he got 95 million votes. But, you know, that was the entire Republican vote. He has a substantial vote, but he didn't get anything like the 95 million that he claims he got. Also, I just cannot understand for the life of me, a man like that, he's just unbelievable. He's no humanity, He's no compassion. He's a tax cheat, and we all know about his sexual activity. I just can't comprehend, for the life of me, how that man has got so many votes. All I can say, with all due respects to the Americans, and I like America, I was lucky enough to spend four fabulous holidays there, and the American people I found very nice. But I can't comprehend their intelligence, or indeed their stupidity. America is destroyed. The United States of America, I mean, the amount of money that they owe is just unbelievable. And I wish them well, but they're in deep trouble in every area of society.
Noel, thank you so much for your call in. If we started the show with that, I would have Americans calling in to probably say they're not stupid. But good to have you with us. Roz, just going to come to you because I've got a minute and 30 seconds left.
Just Roz. To say, I think it's generally agreed that the voting system is out of date and has to be revised. But I'll just say that Trump didn't criticize it when he did win 4-5 years ago. Then there was no problem with the voting system, only now when he lost. So, but it does need to be revised. It's not standardized throughout all the states. So that's all on that, I think.
Right then, a quick one in. The electoral arrangements in the UK are the same today as they were in the 50s, and the USA operate a similar system. According to the party workers from the UK, who are always invited to watch what happens in the US elections and other countries, along with other government organisations, stop the abuse and stick with the facts, which are there for all to see. And my final point in today, because we're running out of time, and I absolutely love this one. How about announcing a limit of X number of minutes per caller? What? And lose some of the insight that we've had today? Absolutely wouldn't miss it for the world. Right, almost out of time. It has been my pleasure and my privilege to bring you another very busy viewpoint. My thoughts to my first guest, Andrew Delgadio. And, of course, Roz and Scott Gibb. Roz, thanks for today.
Thanks, Giles. Are you still there? Just to say, with a bit of luck, he'll go to prison.
Right then, well, just leave them on a conciliatory note there, Rosalind, but good to have you.
Anyway, a pleasure as always.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, Rosalind. Rosalind's in rare form, as the Irish would say, and she's toddling off to her day. I'm toddling off to enjoy my day as well. Thanks very much for all your viewpoints. We are indeed a broad church. This show will be repeated at 6 o'clock, and Stephen Ritson is up next.
Views expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.